Christ is risen. Good morning and welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord exalts. I shall not die, but I shall live.
And have the peace of the Lord.
The Lord has disciplined me severely.
But he has not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness.
That I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord.
The righteous shall enter through
it. I thank you that you have answered me. The stone that the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Save us, we pray, O Lord.
O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
O
give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Job chapter 19. Oh, that my words were written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book! Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the biggest problem that humanity faces? Is it overpopulation, maybe? That seems to be what a lot of people are afraid of. Maybe it's a worldwide nuclear war. That's a pretty reasonable thing to be afraid of, to fear, isn't it? Or maybe it's global famine or another pandemic or the widespread depression and loneliness that seems to exist in this world, or so on and so forth. Seems like there's a lot of problems that we face at the end of the day, huh? But really, it's much more simple than that. The biggest problem that humanity faces is a problem that has been with us ever since Adam and Eve ate that fruit in the garden. It's been with us so long, in fact, and has become such a normal part of the human life that nearly everyone just assumes that it is normal and natural. Because the biggest problem that humanity faces is simply that we die. All of those other problems wouldn't be a problem if we couldn't die. If we could survive on other planets without having to worry about dying, then all of a sudden we have a universe bigger than we can really imagine to be fruitful and multiply in. If we could live through a nuclear explosion and couldn't kill one another, maybe we'd actually start trying to talk with each other about things and listen to each other about things. And of course, it's the same with a famine or pandemic or really anything else. Pretty much all of our problems could be solved if it weren't for the fact that we die. That there will come a day when the earth will keep spinning and we won't be here. But that is a fact. Fact is that we will die. Unlike the unbelievers, though, who believe that death is a natural part of this creation, Christians have been given the revealed word of God in the Bible, and therefore we know why death is in the world. It's because we believed the lie. When the devil told Adam and Eve, "You shall not surely die," they believed him. And because of that, they eventually died. And so too will we. Because we too have believed the lies of the devil. We believe him when we think that we know better than God or his word. When we think that we don't need to hear the word of God regularly, but that instead we can listen to our own words or the word of the world. The devil lies to us every single day and tells us that we can be our own gods, that we can be responsible for our own salvation and take care of ourselves when reality is far, far from that. But thanks be to God, who has revealed the truth to us, who tells us that the reason that we die is because we sin. The wages of sin is death. So then, in order to take care of humanity's biggest problem, that is death, We must take care of the root of the problem. That is our sin. And despite our best efforts, we haven't even come close to dealing with our sin problem. We, as a group of people, as humanity, are not getting any better. If anything, we might be getting worse. And just like with the problem of death, the problem of evil in the world is one that the unbelieving world has simply accepted as part of life. You can hear it in phrases such as, to err is human, or, well, I'm only human. Yes, you are only human. And you know that truth deep in your hearts. But you also know another truth deep in your hearts. You know that we should be better, and that we aren't. That we can't be. And since we have made virtually no progress dealing with our own sin problem, neither have we come even close to overcoming death by ourselves. But behold, a mystery. Someone else has. God, our Creator, our Father, the one who gave us the life that we have and that we tend to squander away in disobedience, the one who has revealed the truth to us, saw our problem. He saw our sin, and he saw our death, our rebellion from him, and instead of leaving us to our fate, he chose to intervene. When Adam and Eve ate of that fruit in the garden, he went looking for them. And when he found them, he gave them a promise. A promise that his own son came and fulfilled. The Son, the second person of the Trinity, true God, chose to become also true man. When he came to the waters of the Jordan River, he was baptized, and he took upon himself the sin of all mankind. Just as our baptisms wash our sin off of us, his baptism washed our sins on to him. He took upon himself all of our guilt, all of our stains, all of our shame, all of our sin, all of it. Upon himself. And then he died in our place. He took our punishment. He suffered hell for us when he died on the cross, and I'm not being figurative here. The only way for us to avoid suffering in hell for all of eternity was if someone else suffered hell for us. And that is precisely what Jesus did. And in doing so, he secured the forgiveness and salvation that we need. In doing so, when he died on that cross, he fixed both our sin and our death problems. And in our epistle reading for today, we hear the promise of what that means for us. It means that now death is no longer the end of our story. It means that we are eternal beings. And that so is everyone else. It even means that it's possible that some of us won't die at all if Jesus comes back before then. That's what Paul means when he says that we shall not all sleep, However, whether we die in this world or not, we will all be changed. It's going to happen fast. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. One moment, we will be mortal human beings, and the next, we will be immortal human beings, unable to die. Our reading even tells us when this is going to happen relative to all the other things that are going to happen at the end of the end times. At the last trumpet, it will be one of the last things to occur on Judgment Day. That trumpet will sound, and those who have died before Judgment Day will be raised imperishable, and any who are still alive on that day will be changed. These perishable bodies, which are weak and vulnerable to death, hunger, disease, and injuries, will put on the imperishable. These mortal bodies, which not only are capable of dying, but in fact will surely die, must put on immortality. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you will live forever. You are eternal. In that moment, when you and the rest of humanity are changed, that is when it shall come to pass what is written. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Death will lose. And it will lose you. For you have been won by Christ. Even the sting of death, the pain of death, will be gone. Because the sting of death is sin. And by the grace of God, those who enter eternity with Him will be cleansed of all their sin and will never be able to sin again. We won't mess it up. However, there are those who will not enter into eternity with God. There are those who have and will reject the salvation and the forgiveness that Jesus has earned for them on the cross. And in doing so, they will reject entering into the new creation with the God who died for them. Now, don't mistake me. The unbelievers will still be raised. They will still be made to be eternal. But rather than living into eternity in the joy, life, and light of the Lord, they will instead be cast into the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. If they choose to reject the free gift of Jesus, the man who is God, who died to earn their salvation, then God will allow them to live out eternity in the way that they want, without Him. But thanks be to God that that is not your fate. That He has come to you and has revealed the truth to you through His word. That He told you what He has done for you, how He saved you, in order that you would believe in Him and trust in Him and be with Him forever. And then, because He knew that now, in this time, we are still weak and mortal human beings with sin in our hearts, He gave us proof. And that proof is what we celebrate today. That is why Jesus rose from the dead. This is what we celebrate on this great festival day, the highest of days in the entire church year. We celebrate the truth that because Jesus rose from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. the one who has solved our greatest problems of sin and death, the one who has won us back from death and the devil, and the one who will return and raise us up to be with him forever in the new creation into all eternity. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.